proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Those that give up freedom for safety deserve neither. This is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. We know that he played a very important part in the founding of this country, and his wisdom is renowned. Those that give up freedom for safety deserve neither. Because sometimes what seems safe means that you will have to surrender freedom in your life. We're going to be looking at what the Bible means when it talks about freedom. Freedom is a word that gets used so often, and many times people are mostly referring to freedom in regards to the rights that they believe that they have. But what does the Bible mean by freedom? And if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you know that the Bible has the answers. It has the bottom line on every issue, and it gives us the accurate understanding for all of life. Humans were created to live free. And we know that from the very beginning, God told Adam and Eve, when you sin, you are going to die. Something happens inside to the human person when they participate in sin. And one of the first things they lose is quality of life and freedom. We were created to live free. So anything less makes us unhappy. The greatest freedom known to the human race is the freedom the Bible presents. And of course, it comes through the redemptive work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our true liberator, our true deliverer. And we see that God announced his coming to earth as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. God told the serpent, the devil, I'm going to crush you. Your work is going to come to an end through a plan that I'm going to develop through the human race. And he said, you're going to be defeated. He is going to crush your head, even though you will bite or bruise his heel. He was talking about the coming of Christ to earth to defeat the works of sin and death, to defeat the works of Satan. Nothing else even comes close to liberating the soul, regardless of the circumstances. And this is what we are going to be looking at today. Those that give up freedom for apparent safety deserve neither. Welcome to the program. As we look at this important question, is safety a good trade-off for surrendering your freedom? This is part number one, and I'm Nena Arias. Whenever something presents itself like a safety measure, but it includes that you will lose freedom, I ask you, is it really safety? Is it really a solution? Is it really a good trade-off? Again, I repeat, humans were created to live free. However, they don't always detect early or quickly enough the many traps that can enslave us. And this is where the perspective of God's word comes in. God has not left us defenseless against that which wants to steal our freedom. The world enslaves us with many things, desires of wealth. How often or how wide do we see the wealth squandered in the lives of the rich? And many people look at how the rich live, what they spend their money on, what they buy, how they dress. And so the world tells us it would be good if you desire wealth. Look at what you could have. The world taunts success at us. But what kind of success? And at what price? And the world also makes us believe that if you arrive at a status that is enviable, that is respected, that is greatly desired, that you have arrived. These desires mean that we wake up every day unhappy. Unhappy because we think we do not have enough. We wake up dissatisfied. People wake up dissatisfied. The moment they open their eyes to a new day, already they are experiencing these feelings. Jealousy, always wanting more, coveting and envying what others have. And they live stressed over these things. They're constantly comparing themselves with others. And there's never enough. Why? Because these things don't really satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. So there are many people who have acquired great amount of wealth and material things. They buy these huge properties. They build these huge, luxurious mansions. Gold-plated this, gold-plated that, marble here, marble there. And they don't look happy. They don't look satisfied. They may pretend to put on their fake smiles, try to laugh a lot, but deep down inside, they know the truth. They are not truly happy. They are not truly fulfilled. Material things cannot fulfill and satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. How does the Bible address this topic of freedom? The most appropriate and famous Bible verses that immediately come to mind, which speak of true freedom, are found in John chapter 8, verse 32, that says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." End of quote. But we must understand that when the Bible speaks about truth, it is real truth. It is truth that comes from God. It is not what the world may label as truth. It is not the world's truth that will set you free. So when you know God's truth, that is what will set you completely free. Also, John chapter 14, verse 6, in Jesus' words, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." End of quote. He's the way. There's only one way to find true satisfaction in life. He said, "I am the truth, not a truth. I am the truth and the life." Life lived God's way is the only way to preserve our true freedom. You can talk to people who are incarcerated in prison for crimes that they have committed, but those prisoners who have found a new life in Christ, they'll tell you right off the bat that even though they are incarcerated, their life in God has made them truly free. and many of them, are more free than people who are on the outside. Because true life, true freedom, comes from God. And notice it says, no one comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? Well, all human beings, when they cease to exist here on earth, will go into a dimension that we know as eternity. And we know from the Bible teachings that there are only two places where you can spend eternity. It's either with God or away from God. It's either with those who love God, who have obeyed Him, who have served Him, who have exalted Him, who have lived lives that glorify God, or those who have rejected God, rebelled against Him, and have chosen the other path. But here Jesus is saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to spend eternity with Father God, Jesus is your way. The freedom Jesus is talking about is freedom of spirit, freedom in your mind, freedom in your heart. Material things cannot provide that kind of freedom. So you can strive for all the material wealth you want. But if you do not possess the freedom in your spirit, in your mind, and in your heart, you are still a slave. You are still far away from being a truly free person. He knows and declares that the truth our Heavenly Father imparts through Him is the only way to assure freedom here on earth and to secure our freedom for all eternity. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, if you read the context of that, you will see that that is the account of Jesus being tempted by Satan to try to make him fall. Satan knew what Jesus had come for, and he is approaching him through the human weaknesses that Jesus is experiencing after having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. His physical body was weak. And it says that Jesus had hunger. So Satan tempts Jesus and tells him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into bread. He was recognizing the power that Jesus had. But this is what Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. End of quote. That is the real essence for us to live by. Not to satisfy our stomach, not to satisfy our fleshly desires. We need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is nourishment to our spirit, to our mind, and to our heart. And that is what sets us truly free. Reality is that once we take care of the basics, which can be breathing, taking care of our hunger, have a place to sleep, and shelter, then you have to find a true purpose to live for, because those things are not enough to fill you. Living for what the world offers is not enough either, because it's living for pleasure or providing only for your fleshly appetites and impulses. This is not what will cultivate your freedom. And isn't that what people live for? I want to live my life, and I don't want anyone to tell me how to live it. I want to experience everything that I desire, and nobody is to hold me back or judge me or criticize me for it. That seems to be the definition of freedom these days. But the contrary is the truth. If you live that way, only for your fleshly appetites and impulses, you will slowly construct a prison of destruction for yourselves and those around you. You will imprison yourself. You will enslave yourself. Some people live for power. For some reason, they think that having power and control is a good place to be at. And they sacrifice everything else to climb what they think is the ladder of success that will give them that power. Others live for money. And this is so common all across the social classes, from the poorest to the richest person. There are those who live to gain more money and money and money. They think that that is what is going to satisfy their lives. And they want to do it in hopes to find their freedom, only to find that money is not where it's at. Does it bring some kind of relief to not have to worry about how you're going to pay your rent, where your next meal is coming from, that you will have enough to guide your family with good education, etc.? Of course, all those things can bring some relief. But what happens when you go beyond those earthly, superficial things? No matter what you choose, your daily habits, your choices, and what you choose to spend your time on and effort will determine the things that you value the most. There's a scripture that says that whatever you treasure, that's where your heart will also be. And there's a grave problem with that. A very dangerous pitfall. Guiding yourself only to satisfy the desires of your deviant heart is dangerous. Yes, I did say deviant heart. Because that is what the Word of God teaches us. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all else, and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" End of quote. Some versions of the Bible say that the heart is desperately wicked. So if you guide yourself only to satisfy the desires of this wicked heart that we are all born with, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. Because the heart is deceitful above all else. It will lie to you. It will lie to others. Because you see, because of this deceitful heart, human beings are masters of deception. You heard that right. But most of all, we're trying to deceive ourselves into believing the lies that our wicked heart is telling us. This is what I meant by being on very dangerous ground when you just obey the twisted desires that your sick heart is guiding you toward. And this is precisely what Jesus came to do, to give us a new heart that we can reprogram it with good desires, with good goals, with healthy goals, not only in this life, but goals that will also count for our eternity. We are our worst enemy, dear friends, because we are the ones that, if we're not careful, we'll obey those wicked desires of our heart. The heart is deceitful, and it says, above all else. Wow. We have to make, then, very purposeful efforts to run to God to help us heal our sick hearts. But He doesn't do all the work. Once He gives us the opportunity to be born again, to have a new heart, then we have to make the right choices to stay on that path. He can't do it for us. He would like to, but we have a free will that he has to respect. And so it is up to us to make the right choices even after we have been born again, even after we have repented of our sin and asked God for forgiveness. It's an ongoing process that you embark upon, but you never finish until you cross the threshold into eternity. It's an ongoing job. And to accomplish having a healthy heart and making the right choices, in that same book of Jeremiah, he gives us this important advice. And this is one of my most favorite portions of scripture because it hits the nail on the head as to what is truly important for us to cultivate in life. And I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And it says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord." End of quote. Let's look at this. We are not to focus in our wisdom, in our might or our power, or in our riches. Isn't that what most people seek after? Many people become professional students or lifetime students. Why? Because they want to keep studying, acquiring university titles that will make them seem and feel intelligent and important, and in that they think they are fulfilling their purpose in life. Am I against education? No. Is God against education? Absolutely not. But it says when you base your entire value of your life on these things, you are missing the mark. And then he goes on to tell us, if you want to boast in something, if you want to arrive at something that is truly valuable, do this. Work to understand and know me. To understand and know me that I am the Lord. How much time of your day is spent in endeavoring to understand and to know God? How much time do you spend? What occupies your mind most of the time? Is it God and his principles? Is it God and his truth? He says if you really want to arrive at a successful goal, work to understand and to know me. And the only way we can do that is to be in God's word. Meditate in God's word. We can never do that enough. He says that you know me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Believe it or not, God is pouring out his steadfast love upon the human race. In spite of the sinfulness of the human race, he loves us. And no amount of sinning that we have done causes his love to disappear, to fade. Even when he has to chastise us, it's because he loves us. And those of us who have had the privilege of being parents or are parents, you know that when you love your child, there comes a time, because of their conduct and their behavior, that you have to chastise them because of that love. He says, and I do justice. Oh my, every single action, sooner or later, receives God's justice. And righteousness in the earth, God keeps illuminating the path of righteousness so that we can follow it. And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It is possible to live in righteousness, to experience righteousness, and to see God's righteousness manifested in the earth. Why? And he says, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We can tell ourselves that we are seeking power for good reasons, but if we're honest, we know that many times it's because of pride and ambition that are at the root of those desires for the most part. Those who seek money see themselves as wise, as cunning, and look for ways to acquire more and more of this money, regardless if they have to violate ethics and sacrifice all else to get it. Those who seek pleasure see themselves as deserving to indulge themselves. They say it is their right to do so. Their right? People live for their rights these days, regardless of what is violated for them to arrive at what they think is their right. Only salvation is to see our hearts through God's truth. It's our mirror to the soul. God says that instead of these true goals, you will arrive at a true freedom and success when he said, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. So going back to the emphasis of our topic, it is more than obvious that this famous Benjamin Franklin quote has lost its meaning in the 21st century. When Franklin said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. End of quote. There is no doubt that the original design of our constitutional republic of the United States of America no longer exists, because it was founded on Christian biblical principles. It has evolved into a godless democracy and an oligarchy, which is now threatening to become a dictatorship from the way things are going. Too many people are only thinking on themselves and what they think will bring them the security they seek, thinking that freedom comes along with that. Nothing could be further from the truth. The type of freedom that people seek, and the things that they use to implement it, will only enslave them even further. We're going to continue with this topic, dear friends, and I hope that you will join us next time. We'll see you.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.